Welcome to Fun and Fundraising, everybody, the podcast where we talk with people behind top nonprofit galas and signature fundraising events to showcase how they positively transform their communities. I'm your host, Rob Giardinelli, and today I'm really excited to have my friend Heath Hale on. Heath is the lead auctioneer and owner of Cowboy Auctioneer, and they are one of Texas's, if not the top Texas auctioneer out there. In fact, last year they raised over $50 million with his trademark signature, sold, sold, sold. And anyone who's been to a gala with Heath knows that terminology and phrase. He is also the head auctioneer for Texas's largest gala each year, and that's Mac, Jack, and McConaughey. So we'll spend some time talking about that as well. But he really is a wealth of knowledge in the auction space, and there really is no one better to talk about it. So with that, Heath, welcome, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate the kind introduction, and thank you for all that you do for the nonprofit world and spreading the news on great missions and helping people be more successful in their fundraising. I'm super pumped to spend some time with you.
Well, I'm super pumped to have you here, and thank you for the kind words. And, you know, what's interesting about you is, you know, being an auctioneer, and we've talked about this several times over the years, it was not actually your first calling or your first career. So talk a little bit about your path to becoming an auctioneer about 15 years ago.
So it was not my path to be a charity auctioneer. I was born in a family of auctioneers, which a lot of auctioneers are, but I grew up in industries such as the auto auction industry, a lot of heavy equipment, real estate auctions, and in different types of industries. But I remember as a kiddo, like a young kid, we had a family farm. Dad would plan auctions every other month. There'd be people every day of the week checking in tractors and trailers and golf carts and four wheelers and all that. So that was really my first introduction to auctions. I was a toddler. And then fast forward through college, I worked car auctions. You know, and I think the best auctioneers in the world are the auto auctioneers because they deal with professional buyers and professional sellers. It is the dealers on the auto auctions is like the stock market of cars. And so I cut my teeth there. And as an entrepreneur, I kind of got bored and just felt stagnant after about 15 years of doing that. And one day someone called me and said, "Hey, our auctioneer is sick. We have a gala on Saturday night. Will you come be our auctioneer?" And do you know what I said?
I said, what's a gala?
I said, "What's a gala?" I grew up in Salado, Texas, and we didn't have galas. We might have a fish fry or a barbecue cookout and everyone meet up, you know, at the church and someone made a cobbler and someone donates a shotgun and a quilt. Like that was a fundraiser when I was young, and we would raise a ton of money. It was awesome. But I had never experienced the gala. And so I said, "You know, tell me about it." And they said, "We're raising money to help kids. It's at the Four Seasons. We're serving steak and lobster." And I said, "Stop. Steak and lobster. Can my brother come?" "Okay, cool. We will be there." And so we showed up for our first gala.
Wow.
And my life changed. It was like a paradigm shift. They wanted to raise $40,000 that night. We sold one auction package, a bottle of wine, for $40,000, raised a little over $200,000 in the auction. The lady comes to me crying, telling me what an impact we made. It was for children with special needs. They said, "Hey, we talked about 12 children tonight, but because of the surplus, we can actually add 15 to 20 more children into receiving the benefits. Thank you so much. This is going to just make a world of difference to these families." And I got emotional, and it was the first auction I'd ever really experienced where people weren't buying and selling for a good deal. People were giving generously. And so I got home and Tabitha says, "How'd it go?" And I said, "It was unbelievable. It was like nothing I ever experienced. And I'm kind of hooked." And so that's what got me just at this point, I'm addicted to making impact and fundraising auctions.
Well, and I can't imagine the Texas fundraising scene and beyond without you. And I'm glad that you were able to be so successful your first time out, you know, on a whim, I guess we could say, for lack of a better word, and that it's led you, you know, to create Cowboy Auctioneer with you. And I'm guessing your brother Seth is who you were there with that very first night. Would that be correct?
That's right. So we grew up doing auctions together. And let's see, I was probably 30. No, I was 25. He was about 21.
Oh, you were babies.
We were definitely babies. And you know, Rob, it was just such an incredible experience witnessing people be generous. Like I said, most auctions, the seller is there to sell it for as much as they can, and the buyer is there to buy it for as cheap as possible. And cheap is the word that they use typically at auctions, or a good deal. And so it was just so cool to experience people giving and not looking for a good deal, but looking to make an impact. And that's really what I got addicted to, was just helping people be generous. And I love kind of being at the center of, you know, I tell our team we're the centerpiece of what's a great, incredible mission, and someone who has the resources to fund it. And the fact that we get to facilitate that deal, there's like literally nothing I love to do more.
Absolutely. And speaking of resources, so anyone who has not been to an auction headed by Heath and the Cowboy Auctioneer, so it is Heath and we'll just say his posse for lack of a better term. So, you know, talk a little bit about you and your team at Cowboy Auctioneer and kind of how you all, you know, how you all work and operate. 'Cause you all really, I mean, really, it's almost like watching a, you know, a well-conducted orchestra navigate a room in a space because there's quite a few of you. So talk a little bit about that.
Thank you. You know, so as I was growing up in the auction industry, in the auto auction industry, my father and his friends in that world, you know, auctioneers, it's a real clique. And so I got to be friends with a bunch of guys, and then they had kids. And so my team, there's 14 cowboys and a cowgirl. So there's 15 of us, and all but one are second generation auctioneers. And so they're not folks who I was like, hey, you know, do you want to come help us do auctions? These are men and women who grew up, cut their teeth doing auctions. It's in their blood. And we've done, I mean, several years ago, we counted, we had done more than 10,000 auctions together. Not galas, not fundraisers, but between the auto auctions and the different industries from when we were growing up. And so, you know, they have a lifetime of experience. I love that you said a well-conducted orchestra. We really pride ourselves on knowing what's going on, where the money is, who has the top bidder, whose bidders are out, and just making sure that everyone has a fun, exciting, you know, kind of adrenaline rush type experience with representing the organization and the mission really well as professionals. And so I have ultimate trust in my team, and everyone on my team is a licensed auctioneer. So if there were something tragic and you know, I couldn't show up that night, or one of our other auctioneers couldn't show up that night, anyone could legitimately step up on stage and crush it. And I don't think very many people would even know that they weren't supposed to be the auctioneer that night.
You know, thank you for sharing that. And really, I wouldn't even call you all a team because to me, team means you kind of have a specific role. You all are an ensemble, which basically means if something happens to one of you, another person can step into the spotlight onto the stage and it can just be a real seamless transition in the scene that is the auction. So I love how you shared that and how you each of you has a passion for it. And you're all doing what you do with the nonprofit fundraising for a greater cause. It's really bigger than any one of you all individually. And I think that's what makes you and your team so unique in the fundraising space. Really, I would say anywhere.
Well, thanks for saying that. We really pride ourselves on just every time we say this, we only go for 5-star reviews, and every time we want to bring our A game. You know, Rob, every time we walk into a ballroom, it's that organization's biggest night of the year. It's their biggest night of the year, their most important night of the year, their most stressful night of the year, with their biggest donors of any other night of the year. And so, you know, there's no room for error. And so we pride ourselves on just knowing the details, knowing the people. Right attitude, right posture, right approach, right timing, knowing the mission, knowing the details, and we pride ourselves on that. You know, something else really cool about the team is it's made up of some really, really good salt of the earth folks. Not only are they the top auctioneers in the country, and I say this unbiasedly, like I went out and procured each of them to build this strategic team. We now do up to 3 auctions in a night, where I'll be leading one in one city. Seth will be on another stage, and Landon, who started doing events in 2023, he did 8 events. He broke 8 records. He's on a roll. So he's got, I don't know, 8 or 10 this coming spring. So we're doing up to 3 events in a night. But and then we specifically put those teams together strategically as well, depending on the mission and just kind of the makeup of the event details and goals. But, you know, I got a guy on my team that grew up in and out of foster care. I got a guy on my team that was a young father that his 8 month old was at Dell Children's and just passed away from a tragic disease.
Oh, gosh.
I have a girl on my team who her dad is one of the top auctioneers in the country, and she's a mama and has two kids, and she comes up and just is on fire during these auctions. And so, like, each one of the personalities on this team is just, they have their own story. And so what we do really means something to them. To none of us, it's not an auction. It's like, all right, we are here. We know the mission. We're going to impact lives tonight, and we're going to go home and be super, super grateful that we got to be a part of it.
That's, you know, that really is your team in a nutshell. And every single one of them, I've gotten, had the good fortune to talk to most of them over the years. And you're right. Every single one of them is the salt of the earth, and they all want to be there. And that clearly shows in the amount, you know, and how successful each of your fundraisers are. And you were talking a little bit earlier kind of about how it really is a stressful night of the year. But you had also mentioned something about, you really are better than just about anybody I know at understanding who's in the room and what makes them tick. So talk a little bit about, you know, and you had talked a little bit about how you work with nonprofits, and you may go a little bit deeper. Talk a little bit about how you identify and tie auction items to specific major donors who are in attendance at a gala when you're doing your auction.
So, you know, one of the first questions we always ask whenever we're starting the consulting process, and I would encourage anyone who's planning an event and listening to this to hire your auctioneer early in the game. I feel like so many organizations will just wait, and the auctioneer is kind of the, like, 2 weeks before or even 2 months before decision. And here's the thing. There's not another 45 minutes all year long where you raise that much money in 45 minutes. And so why are you going to wait? Like, don't wait. You go out and get the personality and the brand that you want to represent your mission and stand on stage and talk to your highest end donors, because they need to be an extension of your team. I say we are not the auctioneer. We are an extension of your team on behalf of your mission. And we're going to communicate exactly what you desire to your top donors, right? And so go hire that auctioneer early. What we do is typically, you know, 9 to 12 months out, we're booked. And that gives us a great runway. And the first question we ask is what are your goals? It's always the first question. And so when someone tells us they have, you know, a live auction goal of $300,000 versus $1 million, then those are two really different approaches for us. The questions that follow is, you know, hey, what's the let's divide your donors into three tiers. If you have a top tier of donors, and that might just be one or two families, or it may be 10 families, but what's your top tier of donors look like? What's your second tier of donors look like, and your third tier of donors? And then the auction packages that we want to put together are packages that appeal to everyone in the room. And then you've got Darwin's theory, and it's only the strongest can survive, right? And so you want everyone in the room, when you start that package at $1,000 or $5,000 or whatever the starting bid is, you want every paddle in the room to go up, and then your top tier of donors can hold their paddle up longer than anyone else. Those are auction packages that we're looking for. And so we like to learn about the persona of the top two tiers of bidders in the room. Who are they? What do they desire? How long have they been there? What did they buy in the past? And then we really like to have some strategic conversations with the board and with the committee who can build out those live auction items. We like to find out what their connections are. Who do they work for? Oh, they work for Coca-Cola, or they work for the local university. Well, instead of, you know, a 12 pack of Cokes once a week for a year, Coca-Cola is a top sponsor at the NCAA National Championship. So what does it look like to get VIP access there? It's all about making the right ask to pair with your donors. Obviously, you don't need a private island if you don't have folks that can pay for the private island. But you don't want to auction off, you know, a local round of golf if you have folks in the room who are desiring and could bid to go to Pebble Beach. And so we like to find out who those personas are. What is their capacity? What do they desire? And then what people do you have that are helping you procure your items that can help get items in those different categories of tiers. And then if you don't have those, how can we strategically consign something so you can make exponential return on that? That's how we'll fill a hole.
You know, I'm glad you know, that was a perfect explanation of that. And you ended with something, and I want to dig a little bit deeper. And that is, you were talking about consignment. So for anyone who's maybe even who's newer at the, you know, in the auction realm, or they have a fundraiser where they're looking to really take it to the next level, explain what the consignment process is and how that can really benefit an organization exponentially.
Yeah. So, you know, what we like to do is we like to encourage an organization to get as much donated as possible. But, you know, we like to make things qualify. We use this term all the time. Does it qualify for the live auction? So going back to your last question, if you have a $300,000 goal and you have 10 packages, each package has to average $30,000. So like a $4,000 experience just doesn't qualify unless it's combined with another $26,000 type package, right? And so when you use the word qualify, and for 6, 9, maybe even 12 months, you're procuring your live auction packages. When it gets down to, you know, 30, 45 days out from the event, we look at everything that the organization has and we help them determine what qualifies for live auction and then what can be moved over into the silent auction or the raffle or whatever that may be. And so now we typically will have a hole or two in terms of the lineup. You want the auction lineup to be super well-rounded. And so that would be like, 1 to 2 packages out of, we really like to have 8 to 10 packages, Rob. Like if you can have 8 and everyone's going to go big, then that's preferred. But if you need that 9th and 10th package to get to your goal, that's great too. Going more than that can take a little bit longer than the audience is wanting to wait. And so when you look at an auction lineup, you really want to have some great, well-rounded packages. So something of the mountains. The most popular types of packages are typically the beach, because the guys and the gals and the couples and the families, everyone loves to go to the beach. So a package of the mountains, 1 or 2 packages to the beach, a package with sports, so that could be golf or football or VIP with, you know, your audience's favorite team, and then something to wine country, whether that's domestic or international, and then something just kind of crazy adventurous. But like, you really want these well-rounded packages that appeal to everyone. And so when you look at your lineup of what qualifies, you may say, man, we do not have any real good packages to the beach. You know, in Texas, if your best package is to Port Aransas or Cinnamon Shores, those are really great places. But is that going to appeal to tier number one? And so if you don't have an incredible beach package, there's a market out there where there's companies that exist that can provide consignment packages. Typically, those are no risk. We always use a company called Charity Ace. Charity Ace is a vetting company that doesn't create packages. And so Charity Ace exists to vet through all the different consignment providers. We know that if we send wealthy people to travel through them, they're going to put the charity first and they're going to put the donor first. And there's not going to be upselling, hidden fees. Everything has the right types of insurance. I'm all about the longevity of my career. And so reputation matters. And when you sell bad packages, people tell you about it. And so I've sold bad packages before that I didn't know were bad packages. And then I hear about it. So if you're going to consign a package, we work with Charity Ace. They protect your organization. And then what will happen is they say, okay, who are your top tier of donors? Okay, you're looking to sell a package for $50,000 to the beach. Boom, here's the 8 packages that we think would qualify for your group. You're trying to sell a package for $6,000 to the beach. Great, here's the 12 packages that we think would appeal to your group. And so they really help us and help our clients. But to be clear, we like to fill holes with consignment, not build around it. What I love about consignment is there should be great photos, a buttoned up description. It's a super quick turnaround, 0 lift on the organization pre-event and 0 lift on the organization post-event because they concierge your trips for you. And you can sell those packages multiple times. So while it's great to get 5 nights in Aspen donated, if you can get 5 nights in Aspen donated and it's a luxury home and you've got a luxury audience, sell it. But if you don't have a mountain package and you can go get a trip to Aspen that costs you $6,000 or $7,000, but then you can sell it for $25,000 6 times, I mean, you can net $100,000 on the package, and more than likely the package you paid for is your package that nets you the most. And so we use it strategically. We don't always use it, but typically every good auction has 1 or 2 consignment packages in it.
That's a perfect description. And it's really something that, you know, I hope every organization, like you said, you don't build around it, but it is always a good, I don't want to say ace in the hole, but it's a really good, it's a really good complement to, you know, the ensemble of packages that, you know, that you all do have. And I want to talk a little bit more about the auction process in terms of you, and I know I've said this several times, but you really are the best at what you do. You Thank are you. Better than anyone I know at really connecting the emotional tie with donors to the organization. How critical is that in encouraging and getting donors to bid more for auction packages?
It's the most critical thing. So I'll tell you this, I'm grateful to be at a point in my career where we get to choose the organizations we work with. And we work with organizations that are missions that we ourselves want to give to and want to provide for and want to lift up. And so we really pride ourselves on learning about the organization. A lot of times, especially if it's something that's within driving distance of Austin, I'll go visit and spend time with the organization pre-event. And if not, then, and sometimes you can't do that, right? Some of the missions are obviously they're taking care of clients that have been in tragic situations and you can't go visit that. But we ask every organization to provide us with at least a one pager of impact stats. And then I just spend a lot of time on their websites. I watch their videos. I follow their social media. I do not want to be looked at as the auctioneer. I want to be looked at as a spokesperson for the mission that cares. And I'm a trusted team member that can give. And my heart is all in just like your heart. And so to me, it's the most important thing, Rob, that I do when I go on stage is that I connect as a person speaking on behalf of the organization. I'm a part of the organization, and you as someone in the audience, we are all family tonight. And to me, that like breaks down any wall. It builds trust. And now folks are willing to give more than they came to give because it feels like we're doing it in community as a family. So building trust and connecting with the mission, I just cannot overstate how important it is.
It absolutely is. And, you know, one way that organizations really, and I would say this is a more in the last 5 years, it's always been around, but in the last 5 years, it's a much more common thing. And that is fund a need. And you are so good at like you will literally state it benefits X number of kids at this number. Like I've heard you like literally mention stats. Like if you do, you know, if we get more, if we get X amount more, this many more kids will be helped with X, Y, or Z. So talk a little bit about the difference between a regular auction and how people, how you get people to open their hearts and wallets with a fund a need.
You know what? I love the art of the fund a need. I think when most people, I don't want to generalize too much. I think a high percentage of people that are going to an event, they're thinking, honey, we're going to give tonight. What do you want to buy? And I understand that mentality. Typically, you know, an organization will promote the live auction a lot more than the fund a need. And so I think people automatically have in their heads, we're going to be bidding on stuff. And so what I really love to do, Rob, is I like to get the live auction over with. I think it's super strategic. That didn't sound good. Get it over with. I want the live auction and the materialistic piece to be done when I go into that fund a need moment. And so we'll put as much energy and adrenaline and excitement into that live auction. And I want the feeling of that live auction to be fireworks where people are just going nuts and having a great experience and spending more money than they planned, but they're glad they did. Then I want to have a very clear change of pace. There is this, that's that big climax type package in the live auction. And then I want to have a very clear cut change of pace where the energy in the room changes and it changes to more serious and committed and focused to the mission. And it's no longer about a package. It's no longer about what you will receive. It is all about the impact that you can make. And so we really, I've learned a ton over the years. This is something that's been really fun to develop is understanding a large audience and how to get them to stay engaged, because typically fund a need, they've already been there for 2.5 or 3 hours. They've probably had 3 or maybe many more glasses of wine, and some of them are ready to go, and most of them are ready to dance and so and party and celebrate. And so I want to have this real defined 15 minutes where you can hear a pin drop. And every single word that's said is strategic. But the most powerful thing in the room is the silence. And so what I love is creating this moment where everyone just gets quiet. And all they're thinking about is how important that video or that person who was speaking, their story is. And man, we use the term, let it cook. And we will just, my wife says it's the weirdest thing about me. When I ask for a large amount of money and there's crickets, Rob, I love it. I thrive on it. And most representatives of nonprofits, they hate that moment. And we have to talk them into letting that moment be okay. Because what that moment does, when you share the story, the emotion's there, you have the audience all listening and you could hear a pin drop in the room and you ask for a big amount. Of course, we want 5 or 10 paddles to fly up. But I think it's just as powerful whenever it takes a minute for the first paddle to go up and everyone can just sit there and think, because here's what they think. Should we raise our paddle? Like, this could be us. And you start getting everyone in the room kind of thinking that way. And so now if like 10 seconds, 15 awkward seconds, which I'm just having a blast during those awkward 15 seconds goes by and that first paddle goes up, all of a sudden people are like, yes. And another one, boom, boom, boom. And it builds this momentum. And so I love the power of the silence. I love the power of gathering the room. It's so hard. You know, the other day we were at an event, 1,000 people in a JW Marriott with an open bar. And it's 9:30 at night and you're starting to fund a need. What we do is we say, folks, gather around. Come on, everybody. We've got just a few more minutes and the after party is going to start. But this is the most important 15 minutes of our entire year. And we are ready to make an impact. And whenever you can gather them in like that, share the story, they hear the silence, and then you follow with that first big gift. I'm addicted. You can tell. You can tell I'm fired up.
It's your drug. It's your drug of positivity is what I'm going to call that. Because there is this rush. And I know that there was another auction that you helmed last year that had five or six people that gave at the top level, which was like $50,000. I mean, and there's just something that's euphoric and really drives people to, you know, really inspires them. And that's not even, you know, the auction that, you know, we do want to talk about. And, you know, that suspense that was last year's Mac Jack and McConaughey live auction, because it was a watershed moment in Texas nonprofit fundraising. Let's just be honest about it.
The history of Texas nonprofits, right?
I mean,
that was the big one.
It was insane. So tell us a little bit more.
Was it the biggest ever?
I think it was. What was the exact amount?
I mean, just the live auction alone was over $8 million.
And that probably is the biggest ever. And I will say, I can say with fairly good confidence that was. So talk a little bit about, because that really is just a phenomenal amount to raise when, you know, there's really only, what, 400, 450 people that are bidding, you know, because it's, you know, ACL Live at the Moody Theater, it's a wonderful space, but, you know, it is not a space for anything above 500 people for a gala. That doesn't mean that people can't filter in for the concert.
250 couples.
So yeah,
250 couples, right? And so really, I look at it as 250 paddles.
Yeah, because that's what it is. Exactly, yeah, because the spouses aren't bidding against one another. So talk about that auction last year and how, you know, what was that like to get to that dollar amount and just see that much generosity in a room? Because, you know, Jennifer Stevens did an incredible job, along with Mac Jack and McConaughey, getting the right folks in that room to raise that amount of money. So talk a little bit about last year's auction.
Well, first off, there's probably not a more fun hour in my entire year than that hour getting to be on stage with Matthew, with Mac, with Jack. You got Garth Brooks coming up. I mean, it's just insane, right? So, you know, I'll say a little bit of backstory. It's been an honor to be on that stage since year one. It's been 11 years. We've got year 12 coming up. Luke Combs is playing. And I think the first ever Mac Jack McConaughey live auction, if I remember correctly, was 338,000. And then it went to 500 or 600, then it went to 800, then we had $1 million auction, you know, so it took a little bit to get there. And then I remember probably year 5 or 6 was the first time we sold a package for $1 million. And so over those 11 years, we have these kind of benchmark moments that really stand out. And last year was just the most epic of all, you know, selling, what did we sell a package for? I think one package, $3 million times two. You got confetti coming from the ceiling. You got smoke shooting from the stage. You got Matthew saying and doing and high-fiving what Matthew does, and coach giving everybody the, all right, now it's fourth quarter. You know, I mean, just an incredible moment. I have to pinch myself, Rob, and I don't get like that typically. You know, I get to be on a lot of cool stages around the country with the elite celebrities and athletes and stuff. But I get to pinch myself on that night, because the fact that I get to be in the middle of so much money being raised for five incredible organizations, it is just unbelievable. And I'll say, you know, I personally, my wife and I have a long history with four out of the five organizations there. Tabitha did the first ever bike ride for the Rise School of Austin and planned that. My wife worked at JHL many years ago, 2009, 10, and 11. And so that's how we first met Jennifer. Emily, who runs my company, used to work at JHL, and Tabitha and Emily helped launch MJ&M. You know, working with Dell Children's and have friends whose children have been served at Dell Children's for many years. Heart Gift. I mean, there's probably not a better, you want to talk about impact. Yeah. Sets. $25,000 literally provides a life-saving heart surgery for a child from a third world country who was going to die otherwise. And so, like, I love Heart Gift. I've got to work with them for almost 10 years. And so, you know, between Rise, Dell Children's, Heart Gift, you have Cure Duchenne. I personally know Timothy and Andrew and that family here in Austin, and have just been dear friends with them, and have prayed alongside of Tim and Laura and that family for many years. And so I got to say, like, where my passion meets my skill set, and I'm sitting there and there's confetti coming from the room, and you see Jennifer just like, I don't think she'd ever jumped that high in her life. I think it was like a 12-foot vertical in that moment, you know, and cowboys got their hats off, just going crazy. I mean, it's wild. I mean, just pinch me, because it is too much fun.
Well, it is too much fun. Now, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what are some things you're looking forward to with this year's live auction coming up? What can you, I know you can't divulge much, but what are some little tidbits that you can share with us?
I can't share the secret sauce, but here's the thing about Jennifer and I, and it's almost dangerous together. We always want to go bigger. We always want to go bigger. And so when we sold the $1 million package for the first time, I think that was, you know, Parker McCollum year, probably 2020. The first thing we said afterwards is, how are we going to get to 2 million on a package next year? And so, you know, we had our $3 million package last year. Jennifer and I dream of a $10 million package. We never know when it's going to happen, but we're going to get there. They have the right people. They do an incredible job. You know, I say this, Rob, there's a lot of things you can do to have a successful event. It's just as much effort to plan an unsuccessful event as it is to plan a successful event. It is so much work and too much work to plan an event that isn't impactful or successful financially or for the attendees. And so what Jennifer and her team and all of the folks that have their hands as a part of MJ&M, they're all strategic, and they all know what it feels like, looks like, and what it takes to plan a successful event. And so what I'm excited about this year, you have Luke Combs coming in. You've got big momentum off of the last few years. We've got auction packages like never before, and there's going to be fireworks, and we're going to try to make those fireworks a little bigger and a little brighter. And that's what the hope and the prayer is, because there's five incredible organizations behind those fireworks. And it's fun, right? You got the celebrities and the lights and the confetti and the champagne and all that involved, but really, what's it come down to? It comes down to those heart surgeries. It comes down to those kids receiving those after school hours and support. It comes down to finding a cure for Duchenne, those teachers that support the Rise School. So we're going to just try to go bigger and better for them.
That's been, you know, that's the perfect answer. And, you know, one thing bigger and better that has been happening with this event, in addition to bringing the top people from five incredible organizations, is when I was there last year, I was like, wow, there were people from all throughout Texas. It really has become almost a regional event. And I really didn't connect those dots until last year, when I was like, I know this person from Houston, and this couple from Dallas, and this one from Fort Worth. And it was really this whole state, really it's become this statewide event, you know. And yeah, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, because you do galas all throughout the United States. Do you approach different markets differently? And if so, how do you approach, you know, a gala in Austin versus say a gala in Fort Worth and tap into the soul of each community?
Absolutely. And it's not just city to city or region to region, it's room to room. And so, you know, 1,000 people at an event that's more like cowboy, you know, laid back versus 200 people black tie, same hotel room, just one night after the other, is two very different approaches. And so, obviously we know Austin really well. This is where we live and base out of, but it takes time preparing and communicating with the organization who's bringing us in, reading about the other events in those cities and communities to really understand. And you mentioned Fort Worth specifically. Fort Worth is its own animal. Fort Worth is just different than most places in Texas. It's more laid back. Folks don't love to give publicly. I highly respect that, but it's my job to get them to do so, right? And so I have to go in an event in Fort Worth with a different approach. I really try to build up in Fort Worth the fact that we are all family, and tonight as a Fort Worth family, we are going to come together, and it's going to take all of us raising our paddles to hit the goal. You don't have to do that in all rooms. In Houston, you don't have to do that. You've got business mogul bidding against business mogul. In San Antonio, you've got a lot of oil and a lot of real estate, and then a lot of rural people coming in from their big ranches. And so each one of these communities is different. We learn about them. And again, it all starts with this question to the charity: what's your goal? And when they tell us the goal, then we have a way to analyze how many packages needs to bring certain amounts of money. And then based on that, we build out our approach. It's actually very calculated and strategic.
Well, you got to be strategic, and I can see why you're the very best at what you do. And I know we're coming short on time, but I want to end with one question. And that is, what is one thing all successful events have in common?
It's a hard question. And the reason it's a hard question is because I want to give you an answer that's a combination of things. But I would say, if there's one, first off, can you tell me this? What is your definition of success?
My definition of success is that everyone had a good time. The organization raised a lot of money, and they've got a pipeline of fundraising for future events.
Then it's organized and great communication. I mean, if you can communicate your mission, so here's what I say. I say that you always need two things for a very successful event. You need a great mission, and you need to tell that story really, really well. And then you need people that care about that mission and have the ability to make a difference. And in the middle of that, great communication, right? Communication of the timeline of the event, what people should expect. If they don't know that there's a live auction and you surprise them with that, then they're not ready to bid. And so they need to become prepared. So we always talk about an event flow of get people there, have cocktails, fun, let them get their hugs, high fives, hellos, and conversations out of the way. Then you bring them in and have dinner. Give them a great topic of discussion for dinner. Why are you here? Who at your table has experienced our mission before? And what are you so excited about regarding what we have planned over this next 12 months for our mission or our ministry or our school, et cetera? So let them talk about that during dinner. Then come up, you have the program, short and sweet, 12 minutes probably, and have that be an inspirational time. You want to give people information and inspiration. Then you have your fundraising, then you all celebrate. So that's a super long-winded answer. But I say a great mission and capable people that care. But when you say, okay, it was successful and everyone had fun, and then a pipeline to follow up afterwards, obviously your event coordinator or planner or staff member who's in the details of communicating with those guests is just such a pivotal position.
That is a mic drop moment if there ever was one. Now, where can people find out more information about you? What's your website, and where can they learn more how to work with you?
You can go to cowboyauctioneer.com. You can go on Instagram at cowboyauctioneer. We're easy to get a hold of, and typically you can find us in a ballroom on a Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night in some city around the U.S.
And with that, Mac, Jack, and McConaughey will be on April 25th and April 26th, 2024, at various locations throughout the Austin, Texas area. For more information, please visit MacJackandMcConaughey.com. Heath, thank you again for joining us today. We are so thrilled to have you here.
Rob, it's an honor, and I want to tell everyone listening, keep doing what you're doing. You're changing the world, whether you're a donor, whether you're a staff member, whether you're a volunteer coordinator. What you're doing is making an impact in the folks who are receiving the services of the organization that you are supporting. They may never meet you, but they're grateful. So keep doing what you're doing. Thank you, Rob, for having me.
Thank you. And this is Rob Giardinelli signing off on Fun and Fundraising, reminding you to keep it fun, keep it interesting, and your guests will have a great time. Have a great day, everyone, and take care.